again the message, and I want to call it, This is God's Honest Truth. This is God's honest truth. And I'll be honest with you this morning, this message that has been laid upon my heart, I have been fighting with God to preach it. I don't usually have that turmoil. The things that this passage brings out is, I believe, necessary for the time in which we live. And so we pray that you'll take it within that spirit of the way that the Lord has laid it upon my heart to give it this morning. But I want to encourage the women to become married, and that I want to encourage the married to become mothers, and I want to encourage the mothers to become managers. And so we find a scripture that we're going to pull from is in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14. It says, I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some are already turned aside after Satan. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name here this morning. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the songs that we've sung. Thank you for the testimonies that were given. Thank you for the gifts that we're able to give. I pray that you'll bless each mother here this morning. God, those who have their mothers and those whose mothers have passed on, Father, I pray, God, that you'd help them to have a good day. Father, I ask you now, Lord, to take the Word of God and do a work in our hearts and our lives. Help us to see it clearly as you've given it to us. God, help us to be convicted by it, but comforted at the same time. We pray, Lord, that you'll move in every heart and every life, but especially in every home. God, we pray today, dear God, that you'd be with those, dear God, that are hurting and suffering. Those today, dear God, that are discouraged and distraught. Father, those this morning, dear God, that are crossways with God. Father, just lost without the Lord. God, save them. Have your way now. In Jesus' precious name we'll pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. A job description for mothers. Wanted. Women for long-term position. Degree or diploma not necessary. Knowledge of the following helpful. Cooking and baking, especially cookies. Washing, doctoring cuts, scrapes, measles, bloody noses, broken hearts. Sewing buttons, costumes, party dresses. Able to referee fights and games. Play ball, drive a car. Know long division. How to give birthday parties. Blow balloons. Go camping. Fishing, pick up worms, plant a garden, attend a PTA meeting, must be able to tolerate dirty little boys, giggling little girls, puppies, and track up floors. Should be a financial wizard, able to maintain a household of own pennies and quarters, but still save for college. Should be able to patch broken dolls by Santa's helpers, darn socks, make colored eggs, attend little league games, work the concession booth, listen to music, and tell bedtime stories. Should have a twinkle in the eye, easy laughter, a shoulder to cry on, a lap that holds at least three, must have stamina of a plow horse, wisdom of an owl, speed of a gazelle, grace as a swan, must be able to color and never need to ask what her child is drawing, may be short or tall, thin or plump, must be available 24 hours a day, no days off, no overtime pay, must have a heart that will chase after rainbows, butterflies, and kittens, must be able to forgive over and over and over and over and over and love forever. That's the description of mothers that is needed today. Any candidate? I'm glad I'm a father. Amen. That is a list of things. And as I was reading them, I was thinking, boy, how true that is. Amen. Happy Mother's Day to you. Hear what God is saying in chapter 5 of 1 Timothy. He's saying it to women. He says, I therefore that the younger women. And everything else that follows after that is to women. And so this morning, God says to women to be married. That's what He says. He says to be married there in that verse 4, young women marry. That's what God would want, to be married. Number 2, God says, I want you to be married, but then I want you to bear children. I want you to be a mother. And then He says, thirdly, I want you to be a manager. He says, guide the house. And He wants it to be done in this order. Married, mother, manager. The order is important. The order is very much the way the Word of God gives it and gives it out to be. And so we can't just overlook it. And then fourthly, He wants you to be a master. He says, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully, to shut up all critics, to be married, to be a mother, to be a manager, was shut up all critics. To shut down all haters. To shut out all opposers. The one that He says to the woman, I want you to marry, I want you to be a mother, and I want you to be a manager. He says, I want you to be a master over the world. I want you to be a master over the flesh, and I want you to be a master over the devil. Now, how does a woman become an overcomer like that? How can a woman today take their critics and take their haters and opposers and to shut them up and to shut them down? Well, a woman, be married, bear children, become a mother, and be a manager. That's how. Doing it God's way. Doing it the way that God has said to do it. We find that coming and doing it their way, verse 15 gives us that answer. For some are already turned aside after Satan. So either you do it God's way and master, or do it the devil's way or your way and be master. We can find and understand this morning when you don't follow the direction of the Lord by not getting married before you have children, or getting married, having children before you getting married, it becomes disastrous. Whenever you live with someone or shack up with someone, you'll find that you'll never become that manager of that home, that direction. It becomes dysfunction. We got stats, we got people, we got proof, we got a society that is bringing revelation and understanding of how people do it their way, and it has brought great destruction upon us today. You got to do it God's way in order for God to be blessed, or God to bless in the way that things need to be done. Now, this is God's honest truth. This isn't my opinion. This isn't my thought. This isn't what I come up with. This is what I have seen the Scripture give in great detail. Some have went toward the devil. Some have went toward their flesh. And some have yielded toward the world. But, dear woman, God is given directions of what you are to be doing. And you are to listen to what God has to say. You will do two things this morning. Either you'll listen to God, or you'll listen to your flesh, or you'll listen to the world, or you'll listen to the devil. God said, be married, in verse 14. He says, matter of fact, it even goes deeper than that. He says to be married or marry young. Young. We find in our society today that's discouraging. Don't get married young. But the Bible says the younger women marry. So we got to put in perspective this morning, what is God saying? What does God want? How does God get the blessing, and how does God get glorified? The first thing is to marry young. That's just what the Bible teaches this morning. I know that goes against the world. It goes against the flesh. It goes against the devil. It goes against society. It goes against colleges. It goes against universities. It goes against schools. It goes against many people. It goes against the woke. It goes against the cancel society. It goes against the Democrats. It goes against the Republicans. It goes against those that this morning would just say, no, don't get married young. Why? Oh, because you're too young to be married. I mean, you've got so much life ahead of you. Don't get married young. Then many will say, listen, you're making a big mistake getting married young. And then some may say, you know, it just won't work out by getting married young. I know somebody who got married young and it just didn't work out. And so they also say, you're missing out. You're going to miss out on so much if you get married young. Now, that's what the world is saying. That's what the flesh is giving. That is what Satan is trying to bring to your mind and heart as a young person this morning. But what does God say? God says to marry young. So you got choice this morning. Either you're going to do what God says, or you're going to do what all others say this morning. And I would say to you that God would be the one that you might want to listen to. Now, the society in which we live in, 7.8 million, now let me say that again, 7.8 million couples live together without being married. Now, you might want to call it shacked up. You might want to call it cohabitate. And the very key factor, whether you're shacking up or whether you're cohabitating or that you're living together, 7.8 million people, million couples, we find that the common factor of all that is sex. That's why they do it. That's why they find themselves in that perspective. The Bible, the stats that I have found 50 years ago, 18 to 24-year-olds that lived together or shacked up or cohabitated was 1% 50 years ago. 50 years ago, ages of 25 to 34 was 2% that were living together or shacked up. Today, those that are 18 years old or 24 years old, 10% of 7.4 billion people shack up. Those that are ages of 25 to 34, 15% of those live together. In 1978, 59% of young people or young adults were married. Today, only 30% of young adults are married. Today, living together, shacking up, cohabitating is common. It's a very common behavior. It's a very common conduct. It's very common in that most people would say it's okay. It's not only common, but it's typical. It's very typical for somebody that comes out of high school or somebody who meets in college or somebody who meets in a bar or somebody who meets at a store. That next thing you know, that they're now living together or shacked up together, cohabitating together, it's typical, common. And it's also acceptable. Many, many people would accept it. Matter of fact, the stats say this, 69%, that's a lot of percentages, 69% say living together is accepted. So you talk, that's almost three quarters of the people would say, if you talk to, let's say, 10 people, you're going to find what seven of those people say it's okay, it's acceptable, it's common, it's typical for people to live together. You know, that's just the way it is today. That's how people do today. You know, don't be a stick in the mud. Don't be old-fashioned. Don't be archaic. You know, come out. Get in the times. You know, we're in 2021. But the problem with all this stats and all these thoughts and all these feelings and all these emotions and all the thoughts this morning, not what God said. God said, get married. That's what He said. He said, get married young. Getting married first before having premarital sex. 18 to 24-year-olds have premarital sex, 65% of them. 65% of every 18 to 24 year old will have sex before marriage. The ages of 25 to 34 year olds, they have premarital sex 76% of all of those before they get married will have sex. 35 to 44 year olds, the premarital sex percentage is 83%. 83% of 35 to 44 year olds. We're talking about people in their prime. We're talking about people who should know better. We're talking about people that should have a better sense and a better, at least, understanding of respecting their body and respecting others. And over 80% have sex before marriage. We find that the ages of 45 through 54 year olds have premarital sex of 86%. 55 to 64 year olds, premarital sex is 84%. Can we say to you that it's pretty obvious with the percentages and pretty obvious with the attitude and pretty obvious with the mindset of the society in which we live? You can Google it up if you want to. You can Facebook it if you want to. You can Twitter if you want to. You can do any other social media that you want to and find the same stats that I find, that we don't have just a crisis at the border. We have a crisis in the bed. Amen, Brother Larry. That's right. We have a crisis in the bed. When 69% of all Americans say it's acceptable for people to live together, to have sex before marriage, and God said to be married, we're in a society of trouble. We find this morning the first thing I want you to notice concerning this thought of being married, or God wants you to be married or tells you to be married, is the updates of marriage. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. I want to just update those listening this morning, update the world on what God has to say concerning marriage. He says, be married. To every young woman in this room and all the world, be married. Get married. I believe what's destroying really our churches and destroying our country and destroying anything that wants to do right is so many young women who I believe in their heart want to get married. They want to bear children. They want to have a family. They want to do things like that. But, friend, they find that so many young women are running around looking for somebody to marry. They're looking for somebody to ask them to marry them. They're looking for somebody who wants to be a man and to treat them and respect them as a woman and to become their lifelong partner and to take care of the children, to provide for the household, and to live a life that brings honor and dignity to the home this morning. And I just don't see the men, or so-called men, who are wanting to marry these women who are young this morning, and you find yourself in a position of a compromise. The updates of marriage. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4 says, marriage is honorable in all. Now listen, I've been here a little while, 59 years now. I've been an adult for some time. I've been pastoring for a little while. I've been in church the most of my life. And I have a work that I go to, and I talk to people all day long. The very thought of marriage today is negative. The very thought of marriage today is completely get away from. Marriage today is looked upon almost as a plague. Marriage today is something to run from rather than go to. And yet, God said, now let's remember now what God is saying. God said to be married and be married young. But then God says that marriage is honorable in all. Hey, if you ever want to be some part of something that's honorable, Fred, you won't find that much honor in the Bible, except tonight, this morning, you find that God said that marriage is honorable. And if you want to be part of something honorable that God declares honor, marriage is it. Updates on marriage to 2021. Marriage is honorable. That's what God says. Unlike to what you say, unlike what the media says, unlike to what the society says, unlike to what the divorcee says, unlike to all others this morning, God said marriage is honorable. It's held in a great price. That word honor there means held at a great price. It means considered to be precious and esteemed as dear. That's what God is saying about marriage this morning, that it is marriage is honorable. This is what God says about marriage. I wonder what you say about marriage. I wonder what you think about marriage. I wonder what you believe about marriage. Well, I could say this morning. If you think or believe or what you say about marriage is not what God says, you're wrong. God says marriage is honorable and all. Hey, listen, I tried not to preach it. I thought of 100 other things that I could preach. I've got a file cabinet from 1996 when I started preaching. Every message I ever preach is in that file cabinet. And I've got thousands and thousands of sermons. And I've got hundreds and hundreds of Mother Day sermons that I could have went through and got some and pulled out. But I could never get there. God said, preach this morning. So, listen, the fact of the matter is I am. And God said that marriage is honorable. And if you think any different than that, then you're wrong. Every man's a liar and God is right. See, when our society gets to the place, back to the place, where God is right every single time and we're wrong every single time, we'll find a society seeking and looking for God. But until then, our nation's turned to hell, and all of us this morning, if we don't turn back to God, we'll find ourselves in a place of destruction and damnation and death. Amen? And America won't ever be what she used to be until God becomes the Lord of America. And Lord of America will become when the people decide that God is right. So he says to be married and to be married young. Marriage is honorable. I'm talking about updates at marriage. Number two, marriage bed is pure. He says that in verse 4. He says, and the bed, what kind of bed? Marriage bed. The marriage bed is undefiled. The marriage bed is pure. That word, the undefiled, means without sin. The marriage bed is without sin. The marriage bed is what God had determined, is what God had desired between two, male and female. The marriage bed is what God has brought forth to bring forth into couples, to married people, that consummation of that marriage, activity of that marriage, that romantic time of that marriage, that two of becoming one of that marriage would be something of undefiling. The marriage bed. The marriage bed is not only without sin, but the marriage bed is pure. The marriage bed is clean. The marriage bed is right. There's a few other things this morning that the Word of God, what God says is undefiled. You know what they are? The first one is Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus is undefiled. He says the marriage bed is undefiled. You know what the second thing the Bible teaches that's undefiled? It's pure religion. It's undefiled. You know what the third thing is this morning that the Word of God teaches what's undefiled? This morning is heaven. In 1 Peter it says that the inheritance is undefiled. So we're talking about Jesus. We're talking about heaven. We're talking about pure religion. And then he throws in the marriage bed. You talk about a high place to come to. Fred, when you're talking equivalence to Jesus in heaven. So it's almost like when you get into the marriage bed, it could be heaven. It could be like with Christ. It could be a pure religion. We say to you this morning that the marriage bed is pure. Can I say here thirdly this morning? The premarital bed is judged by God. The premarital bed. The bed without marriage. The bed before marriage. The Bible says in verse 4, but whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Now that ought to hit everybody's heart this morning. That ought to be something of a sword that should go down deep into every single one of us this morning. It ought to go deep into our hearts because of us. It ought to go down deep into our hearts because of our children. It ought to go down deep in our hearts because of our grandchildren, because of our family members, because of our friends and co-workers, and even because of our members, that whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. What's a whoremonger? A whoremonger this morning is the same as a fornicator. A fornicator is the same word we get, again, I mentioned this the other day, but it's word pornos. It's the Greek word is pornos, but the English word we get from pornos is pornography. We find that word fornicator means sex before marriage. Now turn your Bibles with me this morning in talking about God will judge. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 with me. Turn there with me this morning. I need to continue on this thought about being married. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. The Bible says, "Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, or adulterers, or effeminate, or abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." So we find that God will judge. He's already judged with that. He said there'll be no whoremonger in heaven. None. None. There'll be no adulterer in heaven. Zero. Zip. Out. None. That's heartbreaking. How many people we know that had sex before marriage? Friend, if the truth be known, every one of us in this room is guilty either of being a fornicator or an adulterer somewhere down in line. And wasn't it good that the grace of God and the blood of the Lamb could bring forgiveness upon all of us this morning? But the fact of the matter is, premarital sex, God will judge every whoremonger. We can't excuse, we can't skirt the issue this morning. Revelation chapter 21. And verse 8, "For every man, for every woman that has sex before marriage at any age, at any time, will face," Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8, "which is hard, which is difficult, which is brokenness in the hearts of those that we know that have sex before marriage." The Bible says, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and adulterers and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire, brimstone, which is the second death." Revelation chapter 22 and verse 15. "For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and adulterers, whoso loveth and maketh a lie." Talk about the city of God. There be no whoremongers in the city of God. Hey, all whoremongers will go into the lake of fire. And you'll find this morning, and the truth of the matter is that none are in heaven. Oh, that God will judge. Man, brother, that ought to bring tears to our face. That ought to bring brokenness to our heart. It don't matter what the society says. It don't matter 69% of all the world says it's acceptable to live together. God said, "Whoremongers will I judge." He said, "I'll judge adulterers." Now, what are adulterers this morning? Adulterers are men and women who are married but have sex with other than their partner or their spouse. We find in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 11, that what it says, turn with me there again, and we read it just a while ago. But it says that neither fornicators nor adulterers or adulterers shall inherit the kingdom of God. Listen, I want to pause just for a moment. Just for a moment. As I said a while ago, I would say that almost everyone in this room was either a whoremonger or adulterer at one time in your life. Let's just get honest for just a minute. Having premarital sex as one who's not married is a whoremonger. And God has judged already. And we already read that. But just because you have sex before marriage, and then you get married to the one that you had sex with, doesn't do away with the judgment of God. I'm going to say that again. Somehow, some way, when people have sex before marriage, and that woman becomes pregnant, it's always the way of saying, well, go ahead and get married. Somehow that's going to make things better. But listen, friend, the judgment is upon every single person who has sex before marriage as a whoremonger. And friend, you can get married if you like to, if you want to, but that doesn't do away with the judgment of God upon you. You're still a whoremonger until you get it right with God. Until you take the judgment of God and place it on the blood of Jesus, until you get forgiveness of the Lord, before you ask God to forgive you and cleanse you of your heart, friend, you'll not find forgiveness, you'll not find liberty, you'll not find the praise and the praise of God in your life. You'll still be empty, you'll still be the way you always ever been. You might got a little churchy, you might got a little religious, but friend, just getting married didn't take anything to do with the judgment of God. You're taking a whoremonger and getting married to another whoremonger. And you're still whoremongers until you get that right with God. Marriage don't cure all. Forgiveness does. Marriage don't say, okay, the way we acted, the way we treated, the way we done before we got married can all be solved by getting married. No, the only way that you can get forgiveness of that whoremongering is in the blood of Jesus. It's coming to Him and say, I repent! I turn, I believe, I trust. Come into my heart and save me if you're not saved. And if you're a whoremonger being saved this morning, you confess your sins. He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And there you get fine forgiveness of God. Somehow, some way, we think just getting married after being a whoremonger, judgment of God's gone. I'm afraid you're just wrong. Having sex with another man's spouse and marrying them don't do away with the judgment of God. Friend, you can commit adultery and then marry the one you committed adultery with today. That doesn't mean your sin is gone. The only one that can wipe away sin, the only one that can wash away sin, the only one that can forgive sin, the only one that can bring remission of sin, the only one that can bring pardon of sin is Jesus. Pause for a moment. Have you been to Jesus about your whoremongering? Have you been to Jesus about your adulterous way of life? Have you got that right? Are you clean with Him on these matters? You may be married now. You may have children now. But is that sin, is that way been forgiven? God is right. There is hope with God. In that verse, chapter 1, verse 6, or chapter 6 of Corinthians, it says in verse 11, and such were some of you. See, he's saying to the church, hey, church, some of y'all were whoremongers. Some of y'all were adulterers. Some of y'all were thieves. Some of y'all were abominable. Some of y'all were this. But then he goes on and says, but you are washed. But you are sanctified. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Listen, friend, it's not the end of the story if you are a whoremonger. It's not the end of the story if you're an adulterer. It's not the end of the story, friend. You can come to Jesus and get forgiveness. You can be washed in His blood. You can be indwelt by His Spirit. You can be sanctified and set apart for the God, for the glory of God. And you can be justified as if you never sinned before. But you got to come to Jesus this morning, amen, and get that cleansing and get that freedom and liberty from God. We find this morning, God said, get married. God said, be married. And God said, get married young. That's how you ought to get married. Young. Can I say number two? Not only the updates on marriage, but the candidate for marriage. Turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 10. The candidates of marriage. We know that woman is one of the candidates because he's talking to women. We find in Mark chapter 10, Jesus is dealing with marriage and He begins to tell them and teach them the truth about what God thinks about divorce. But in the matter of divorce, he's talking about marriage. Mark chapter 10, and look there in about verse 6. The candidate of marriage. He says, from the beginning, but from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Them were the candidates of marriage. Male and female. God never made a male in a female's body. God never made a female in a male's body. The Bible says from the beginning. You can't get no further than... If that's so this morning, and there is a man in a female's body, and a female in a male's body, then they're going to have to be before the beginning. Now, if that's the argument that you have with me, is that this took place before the beginning, well then that's the argument you can have alone. Because there's no other place except the beginning. And we find in the Scripture it says, and from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. And when He made them, the Bible says it was very good. The Bible says that it was a perfect state. The Bible says that there was nothing wrong with anything that God ever created. Read the Bible. It tells us very clearly and very plainly about what God did in the first 6 days of creation. And everything He did was very good, and all that He made was perfect in every way. Amen? He didn't make a mistake with anyone or anything. He still don't make a mistake. He doesn't make a mistake. Brett, you make a male, He made a female. Matter of fact, the Bible says that God has created man in His own image. Male and female, and that's the way that it is. And so the two candidates of marriage that God is speaking of here in the Bible is a marriage between a male and a female. There's no other marriage that God would honor or God would recognize. He would have to go before the beginning of creation. Maybe that's a Mars thing. Maybe it's a Jupiter thing. But it's not a heaven or earth thing. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the rule of that was He created male and female. That's the candidate for marriage. But then the mandate of marriage in verse 7. He said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. Wife, a woman. Husband, a male. That's the mandate. Man, you leave your mom and daddy. Woman, you leave your mom and daddy. And man, you cleave to your wife. You cleave to your wife. That word cleave means to glue, to adhere, and to join to. That's what you do. We're talking about the mandate of marriage. A marriage will never become a marriage until a man and a woman will come and leave their home and come together and cleave together, join together, to become adhered together, where two becomes one. That's the marriage. It's not a certificate that makes the marriage. It's not a judge that makes the marriage. It's not a pastor that makes the marriage. It's the very two of one making the marriage. We ought to understand that. We find the mandate, man and woman becoming one flesh. That's the marriage. Man and woman, one flesh. Verse 8. And they twain, that's their two, shall be one flesh, so then they are no more twain, but one flesh. Friend, listen. A male and a female, a husband and a wife, coming to be two into one, and now God says, this is marriage. This is marriage. Nothing else is marriage. What does God say? God says to women, be married. The candidate of marriage, male and female. The mandate of marriage is to come out from your home, to cleave to your wife, and two becomes one. That's a mandate. We find there's a union of hearts. You have this man's heart, you have this woman's heart, and they come together. Now they are union in hearts. But they're also union in lives. There's a compromise, there's a yielding on both sides where one wants to do this and do that, and one wants to do this and do that. And so we come together not only in hearts, but in lives. What we do together. If it's good, it's good together. If it's bad together, but we're together. There's a union in bodies. The consummation of the marriage, of course, is the sexual union of it. Now, what's the liquidating of this marriage? Mark chapter 10, verse 9 says, "What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder." The only liquidating of a marriage is death. You're not finding anywhere else. Romans chapter 7, verse 2, verse 3 says, now 1 Corinthians 7, verse 10 says this, "Let not the wife depart from her husband." The Bible also says in 1 Corinthians 7, 13, "Let him not put away his wife." God said to marry. God said to remain married. God said always marry until death do us part. You know what God said? God said woman to marry. Number two, you know what else He said? Woman to be a mother. To be a mother. Back into our text, He says bear children. Now the order of becoming a mother, according to God, is marry first. That's what it says. Back into our text in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 14, He said, marry. And then He said, bear children. So you marry first, you become a mother second. That's the way God have it to be. Now, in order to become a mother, you're going to find that God made you a mother. That's how you became a mother, is because God made you a mother. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, verse 28, the Bible says that He made male, made female, and they became one, they became married. Then He said this, He said He blessed them. Male and female. He blessed them. What does that mean? That means that He took the male, and within the male, He gave him the ability to fertilize the egg. He took the woman and had the ability for the egg to be fertilized. And then it took God and His life-giving that He brought forth a person. Amen? You're not going to get outside these rules. You have to have a male, you have to have a female in order to have a person. Baby, fetus, embryo, whatever you want to call it. God said, I blessed it. That's what I did. I took this marriage. I put this marriage together of a male and a female, and I blessed it. And what kind of blessing, Lord, did You give? I blessed it so that they can be fruitful. Why? Not only who made you mother, that's God, but why you're made a mother? You ever thought about that? Why you're made a mother? Well, the Bible teaches us that. In Psalms 127, in verse 3, it says, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is His reward." And so God said, I made you fruitful. That word fruitful means bear fruit. That means when a male and a female are blessed by God in marriage and they have a child, that's fruit. And God said, be fruitful. Do you know that in America, the United States of America, is the first time in history that our birth rate is lower than 50%? If we continue on this path, America won't be America any longer because it won't sustain because there's no fruit. Did y'all know that in America? The first time ever. There's all reasons for that. We don't have time to get into that situation. But we find this morning why would God want you to be a mother? He said that He wants to bless you and then to be fruitful. To have children. Amen? I know that old saying is, well, all they want me to do is to just carry children all my life and be barefooted and stay in the kitchen and this, that, and the other. You know how that goes. But can I tell you something? That you're a mother today because God made you a mother. But God made you a mother by the way of being fruitful for a purpose. Then He said, multiply. See that? Multiply. 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 Increase. Enlarge. Continue. Then He said, replenish. feel furnace satisfied. That's why God made you a mother. You thought I was made a mother because of some sexual pleasure that we had. I thought I was made a mother because I always wanted to be a mother. I thought I was made a mother because my mother wanted to be a grandma. I thought I was a mother because I just wanted children. Not so much a husband, but a child. No. All of those are just wrong. The only reason why you have children is because God said, I blessed you, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. That's why. I didn't say it. God said it. And I know it's getting late, but a lot of y'all took a lot of my time. I haven't forgot about that. So let me finish this point. Can I say, number one, when you were made a mother, you became accountable. And you became accountable to God. Because the children that He gave you, which is the fruit of your womb, is now children that belong to the Lord because the children are a heritage unto the Lord. So that fruit that God gave you, that you have bore, male or female, is to go forth into the world and to replenish the world. To go forth and increase the world. Now, where is the accountability of that for us? To go and just go into the world and just go as you are? In other words, the kids just raise up themselves, or the kids just believe what they want to believe, or they just do what they want to do and say, get out of my house at 18 years old. Boom. You're an adult now. Go get you a job, you old bum. You know, listen to Brother Larry. He said, you marry young. Go find your spouse. Get out of here. See, that's not what God's talking about. God says, you're accountable for these children that I have been blessed you with, that you are fruitful of, that I want you to take those children, and I want you to multiply in the world, and I want you to replenish it with what kind of children? Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1 through 7, we'll have time to talk about this, but the children that you received from the Lord was His possessions. The children you received was His heritage. In other words, your accountability was to tell them about the Lord. He didn't give them to you for you to not tell them about Him. Now, the children belong to the Lord. They were possessed by the Lord. The children are the Lord's. Every child in this room don't belong to mom and daddy. They belong to God. But God made you accountable, Mama, that you began to train them and teach them and raise them that they may know the Lord. So that when they replenish and when they will multiply knowing the Lord. You'll train them up in Jesus. You'll train them up in the Lord. You'll teach them about God, about salvation, about the lovely name of Christ, about the Word of God, about heaven and about hell, about salvation, about serving the Lord, about the church of God and the Word of God and the Spirit of God, so that when they do get to that place of going out and getting married young and going about into the world, they begin to replenish and be fruitful. Oh, that the mind and the love and the heart of God will go all across the world. Not just by children, because of the knowledge and understanding and the love of Christ. So how did we get to 2021, where the church is attended the least ever in history? How did we get to the place when atheism and Gnosticism is of greater than being a Christian? How did we get to the place when the majority of church members, in the way of stats, don't believe that Jesus was virgin born? The church today, and the majority of them, doesn't believe that Christ actually resurrected from the grave. Where did those children come from? Who told them that? Where in the world did they get their information and knowledge from? Who told them abortion is right and not murder? Who told them that homosexuality is not abomination to God? Who told them that? Who told them that drugs and alcohol and sex before marriage is acceptable? Who told them?
Who told them that divorce is completely okay? Who told them?
What kind of children are being born? And I'll close with this thought. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 4, the fruit that is multiplying and replenishing the earth today, who are not taught about God and told about Jesus and given the Word of God and the Spirit of God indwelling them, is children, according to Isaiah chapter 1, verse 4, a seed of evildoers and children that are corruptors. The children that are being produced today and have been produced from American mothers and women for some time now, of 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 14, says they're cursed children. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, the children that are produced and the children that are out there and the children that are making up most of America, when 69% say it's okay to live with one another, have sex before marriage, as the Bible calls them, children of disobedience. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 3, the Bible says that the majority of people that are being born out there and brought up is the children of wrath. 1 John 3:10 says that the children of the devil. And if mama don't take on the accountability with daddy to get married and bear children and to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and to teach and train and show them forth how to be a Christian and love God, then our country will all go to hell. And we'll find more fornicators and more whoremongers and more adulterers being born and living on and on and on. Not only is it the accountability, but the responsibility. Unmarried mothers and unmarried fathers. This is just what God says, and this is God's honest truth. A father who bears a child before he's married is a whoremonger. The mother who bears a child before she's married is a fornicator. And the child that is born is illegitimate. The Bible calls them bastard children. That's the hard facts. Hard to take, hard to swallow, hard to receive. Whoremonger, fornicator, illegitimate. God help us. And that's more, if you look in the stats, that there's more children that are being born out of wedlock than ever before. We wonder why we are where we are. We wonder why our country's a mess, while the world is destructive. Not the responsibility to the unmarried, but the responsibility for their own sin, responsibility for the child of the marriage. The father's responsible for the mother and the child. Both made choices. Both made decisions. The father is to support. Boy, I don't have time to get into that. I was going to get into it. But only 50% of fathers by the age of 5 don't have anything to do with their children that they were born out of wedlock. Children who are born out of wedlock without a father in their lives are 2 or 3 times more likely to be poor, to use drugs, to have educational problems, to have health problems, to have emotional problems, to have behavioral problems, to be victims of child abuse, and to become a criminal. And the majority of children today finding that their fathers are no longer fathers. I don't have time to get into that, but I was. All I can say today is this. God will judge for every father who fathers a child with an unwed mother. Your day's coming. I believe our society, and I feel sorry for our women. The way that these guys, you know, if I could, I can't say what I would do. It burns me up. I wish. But listen, church. It all boils down. This is what God said. God said to marry, to be a mother, and to be a manager. And I came to get to that. He said, then be a master. And don't turn to
to the way of Satan. Let's stand to our feet, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If you're a Christian this morning, it's time for us to stand against our children, against our grandchildren, against our neighbor, our friend, and even family members. We've got to do what God said. We got to stand up for what God said. We got to stop playing the game and mixing in with the crowd. We got to stop acting like everything's okay and stop trying to be part of everything. We got to be Christian. We got to stand up with God. Wrong is wrong. Right is right. This is what God said. This is God's honest truth. Tonight, if you find yourself still as a whoremonger, let's get that thing right with God today. If you find yourself as an adulterer, let's get that thing right with God. This morning, maybe you're just not saved. Let's get saved. I'll tell you something. There's not a mother, I believe, that knows God. The greatest prayer and the most prayer is that her children get saved. But then not only get saved, but live for God. That's the part of the prayer for every godly mother. Save my children. But the other part of the prayer is that my children live for God. Live for God. Not just get saved, but live for Jesus. Would you come this morning? If you need to come, you come. You come. Happy Mother's Day to you. If there's ever a message that we need to hear, it's a message this morning. As hard as it is, difficult it is to swallow. It hit so many of my family members. So many people that I know, they have turned aside unto Satan. God help us today. Forgive us, O Lord. Have mercy on your church. Turn our country around. God, that we'll get some spiritual sense. God, that we'll become biblical and scriptural. That we become overcomers. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name this morning. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the truth that you presented to us. We pray, Lord, you lead and guide us as we go home. I pray, Father, that you forever will just instill in our hearts and lives the truth of God's Word. God, that we'll stand for you. God, the days are coming to an end. Lord, your return is so imminent. God, the things just seem to be in perfect way. And God, everything's lined up and lined out. Lord, it just seems it could be any time that you may call. And God, that we may hear that sound and the voice of the archangel. And so, God, in the midst of all that, in the meantime, God, that we would just live for Jesus and we'll honor you all the way. And we will, dear God, approve what God has said and we'll believe it until we die. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.